welcome that you came today to the community in spite of that. Honourable members, we are having three items on our agenda. First agenda is the PSL. Second one is the Boxing South Africa on our annual report. Donald Lee has already prepared himself, but I think this time Donald Lee is going to get a shock of his life. The auditor, we have to meet when we finish with our own program, or is the last item. But honourable members, the first item of the South African, the Soccer Premier League, on the 12th, on the 10th of October, we have invited the PSL to brief the committee around this case of the APSA story that was going on, and the Minister for Finance had to chip in. And then on the 12th, we received a letter from the chairman of the PSL, Mr. Khoza. The letter reads, "Dear sir, I wrote to you formally acknowledging receipt of your letter inviting my office to brief Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on the APSA scholarship matter. I thank you for this opportunity you created in presenting to a credible constitutional forum of the people, as this will help South Africans have a stereo perspective view of the fact pertaining to this matter. I regarded this matter to be such an importance, and the opportunity you presented is valuable, that I thought it wise not to delegate any person, but personally avail myself. I am unfortunately unavailable on the 16th October 2007, as requested by the committee. This is as a result of a prior arrangement relating to the LOC, which is the Local Organizing Committee Executive Committee meeting on the 15th of 2007 board meeting. The 16th, I'm further scheduled to attend the Rugby World Cup in France, departing on the 16th, which is today, in October 2007. I return to the PSL Executive on the Board of Governors meeting scheduled for the 25th and the 30th of October. That will be my return. I have instructed my office not to schedule any new engagements after the 30th of October until we confirmed a date with your office for the briefing. I thank you once more for the opportunity and the interest of Parliament in this matter. Yours sincerely, Dr. Ivan Khoza, the Chair of the PSL." This is the letter that the PSL has written to us. Now, in terms of the rules, if any other person, you write a letter for the first time to that particular person and request him to appear, most likely that person could have had some prior arrangements, and therefore we need to be sensitive to that. And the indication is that the PSL will be available after the 30th of October. And that would be the follow-up meeting which they definitely intending to honor. So we will be writing to the PSL of the new date after the 30th, and then ask them to come and brief us on this matter where everybody has an interest, of the commissions and all the other things that they were in the public domain. I think the committee has this letter in front of us, and therefore we must now discuss of the letter and accept the letter or not accept the letter. Yes, Donald? Can you press that, please? Chairperson, we issued our invitation very late. I think it was on the 10th. It was on the 10th. And they replied on the 12th. And I agree with you, you know, it is possible that you have other arrangements. Chairperson, 2010 is 5 years away. These people are going to play a key role, and money and development is going to play a key role if we want to have a very, very good team. I brought here this morning a few examples of how money should be spent. You know, not on people, on people as such as on officials, but really on the people where they develop the sport and our young soccer players. But what I really want to say, first of all, I think we must accept the letter. That's point number one. They have a plausible, not an excuse, a reason for not being able to attend. So I think we all are supporting the box. I see, chairperson, that you had something in the burger this morning, and we are all supporting the box, and we want people to go and see the box. But I feel that we must rescind the invitation as soon as possible. If that can happen today, Mr. Chairman, I will support it. The sooner it attends, the better.
I think that ANC.
Now, I think we support the issue of the apology. I don't think let's bring in the issue of the box there, because I'm not part of the we then.
I think it's only fair to accept the apology, and it's within reason. That just that we must push on. It's an important issue, and I hope that we'll have that meeting sooner rather than later.
No, thank you very much. Honourable members, that meeting is going to take place quickly. It's just that there's no diary here in front of me. But the Tuesday of the following, of the first, second, after the 30th, and that will be that kind of a meeting. And that meeting is going to take place. All the stories around the newspapers that any person doesn't account to this portfolio committee. Anybody who takes that route, it is his own terrain, because they know what the processes are. And nobody can say, no, I will not come there because I'm not accounting the income. But we accept the letter from the PSL, a bona fide letter, and then parties are accepting that, and the committee is accepting that letter from them. And therefore, we will definitely, Donald, probably by the end of the day today, all parties will receive the date in which the PSL is going to come, and then we'll be writing them almost 14 days before the 30th, so that they must prepare and put things aside. Our quick intervention on this matter was a disturbing matter of a continuation of the commissions and the money that the leadership in football are giving themselves all the time. You'd recall when after we have won the bid for the 2010, they gave themselves 7 million. And the question of the saga between the PSL and the Super Sport, it's not just because SABC is intransigent. It's because, again, there is an opportunity to exchange the contract there, and the 1.2 billion is going to use a commission there. It's got nothing to do with any other thing. Because the channel that the PSL wants to go and take doesn't have an African radio, doesn't have an English radio, doesn't have the Costa radio, doesn't have all other things. But they decide to say, no, the best thing is that we must go to community radio. What are community radio? The one that you are only going to hear in Cape Town and in the Free State, it is not heard by anybody else. And who are the people that are having a stake in the community radio? when we have our own national broadcast, and this committee's point of view around the issue of the SABC and the PSN is in defense of our own public broadcaster on behalf of the people of this country. It has been months now that they don't hear a game playing on the radio and anywhere else. It is dark to them. And that is what is making us to have an interest as this committee in those things. And we'll continue engaging with these gentlemen on this. But we accept the invitation, definitely we accept it. But thank you very much. The second matter is Donald Lee's matter, Boxing South Africa. Where is the letter from Boxing South Africa? We wrote a letter to Boxing South Africa. But the letter that we have written to Boxing South Africa was just a letter for formality. Boxing South Africa knows for the fact that in terms of the act, they are accounting to Parliament. And we also, on the 10th, write them a reminder that they have to come to the Portfolio Committee because their annual report has been tabled. Then yesterday, 2007-10-15 at 11:05 a.m., we received a letter from a certain Mr. Joss Stein. Mr. Joss Stein saying, Boxing South Africa cannot make it to present to the Portfolio Committee on the 16th, 2007. The reason being that the chair of Boxing South Africa, Advocate Dalim Poff, is overseas and will only return tomorrow, which is today, the 16th of October. I refer to our telephonic conversation. We have not responded in writing to your invitation, and we have not discussed the postponement with Mr. Gompel. Now, I don't know he was discussing with some other person when he wrote this letter, because it seems the secretary asked him, did you talk to the chair about this? Now, he confesses that he has never discussed this matter with me and all that, because I was going to tell him that this is a matter that it cannot be negotiated by Boxing South Africa at all. Boxing South Africa has an obligation to come to Parliament. So, fortunately, this gentleman never discussed this matter with me. But being that is me, I would like to suggest that Boxing South Africa present to be postponed to the 30th of October to coincide with Advocate Mpofu's visit to Parliament for the SABC matter. We apologize for only responding now. Please advise the office as well as the chair on the scheduled date regards your stay. I have written a letter to the chair of the Boxing South Africa, Advocate Dalim Poff. He has not received the letter because he was abroad. And this letter was received by the administration in Boxing South Africa. And Boxing South Africa wanted to communicate with us that Advocate Dalim Poff, who's supposed to lead the board of boxing to Parliament, he's not there. And therefore, Dali is going to receive that letter today, probably as soon as he arrives there. And also this matter, I request that now that they're suggesting that they will be available on the 30th, can we schedule that to that day? But the problem with me with this date, Advocate Dalim Poff is coming on the communication issue about the SABC and all this fora that is going around on the SABC. Now, when he comes here, and then he has another appointment, the other side, we might not do justice to the report, because he has to run to communication and run to our portfolio committee. I do not think it is a proper way for us to do that. I think the best thing that we have to do is to schedule a different date than the 30th for him to come and dedicate his time here. There are issues around their program on Boxing South Africa. Apart from the Auditor General giving them a clean bill of health, but there are other things around their annual report and their strategic plan that we have to interact with those things and find out why, apart from using the money they've used fine, they've accounted and all that, but the programs that have not been implemented, that is what we have to engage with Boxing South Africa. The development of boxing in this country, that is what we have to engage on, and not necessarily just zooming on the question of the Auditor General. The issue of the Auditor General is important, members, because it becomes central to us. We can't give it to SCOPA as their sole terrain. We have an interest in this matter because this committee is our own committee. Boxing South Africa accounts to us. And therefore, I want to hear what Cora said. Yes, the ANC. Good morning, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. I agree that Boxing South Africa should be given a separate date just to come to the committee. Because if you've gone through the report, although they've been given a clean bill, but there are some matters of concern which has been raised by the AG. And except as I say also that the other issues around the program itself. And they speak also in terms of regions and provinces. Now one wants to know where are the issues happening in that engagement with them. Thank you.
Thomas?
I also concur with Cora. But you see, if we have a special day, it is a special day for Boxing South Africa only. Nobody else, just Boxing South Africa. I just wanted to know, when did you send the invitation to this?
Usually, as soon as the report is tabled, they are informed that their report is tabled. And therefore, they prepare themselves for any other day. On the 10th, we wrote them a reminder which has a date that is scheduled, because it's us who are scheduling the date in terms of our own program. But they also have the report, because the auditor is interacting with them on what we call the internal memos, and up until the whole thing is concluded, the annual report. But they know they have an annual report, and that it was in their possession. We just wrote them a reminder that according to our own program in Parliament, the date in which is available for them to come to us is the 12th. Another thing is that we're just starting in Parliament this week. And that is the only week. We could not call them last week or whatever. And then because at the time when we were closing for recess, these reports were not tabled yet. So we didn't know about the report. But we have done a good thing, that we must send them a reminder and give them a date that we have it. So the... Yes,
Chairman, I would like to agree, because I remember on a previous occasion when he was here and BSA was here, he never attended because he was too busy or something else. And so I would support the dedicated day.
Now, the decision taken is that we have a Boxing South Africa place. We are not even going to have Boxing South Africa and the PSN. Both of them are going to have their own separate day that we're dealing with those. But what is going to be preceding everything is quickly we must deal with the issue of the PSL and get rid of it, and then it must move from the public domain. Then we are able to deal with other matters. So it is so urgent that we have to deal with it in the days that is following the JTN. And the other thing, which is the last thing, I think we will have to let us to again a little bit, because these gentlemen are struggling to come down from the airport. It's a players' union.
So you are justified because it's not on the agenda, but
The players' union were making a comment about the committee, and also in one interview during this saga of the PSL, when he's saying, when we said as a committee, the money was supposed to be given to the players, and the money is given to individuals in their pockets, and it's unfair. Only to find players are getting 1,000, And then we requested these people to come and present to us their memorandum of understanding and their basic in terms of the labor law. You remember Boxing South Africa were pushing to an extent that there is a basic salary for a boxer to take the stage and all that. With players, it's not the case. And then we wanted to understand from their own union how things are done there. And then to what extent, as a committee, we can do some strategic intervention which are similar to the one that we have taken in the box in South Africa. So the secretary and their national chair confirmed that they are coming and then from Johannesburg. But they were having some flights. I had also a problem with the flight yesterday. I was at the airport from 3 o'clock up until 7 at the time when I landed with Jonas Lee. So there was a problem. So I think we can have our tea again. They will bring another fresh tea. As soon as the players' union arrives, then we will start. Yes, correct.
Just want to check if you can't deal with the minutes.
Okay.
And then break.
The 5th of June, are we proposing slightly separately? What of June? The 5th. The 5th. Then we're going to the 12th of June. Rick is proposing and the DA is seconding. What a
comment. My name appears twice on this one. Just making sure that he says something.
And then let's go to the minutes of the 19th of June. Rate is proposing low expectation. And then the minutes of the 20th of June. Rate is proposing the practice expectation. The last set of minutes. Of course, apart. And the and therefore we have adopted this set of minutes. A gentleman was just arrived. There's a few for you there, just to cool a little bit, and then you must come and sit there. And can you please have your tea there, and then we will get moving when we start. Good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
the minute I'm in my better state, she goes, it's also like
a... One of the media here, probably they wanted to hear what the PSL is going to say in your presence about the 1,000 salary that you are getting. But unfortunately, the PSL got commitments and then they have apologized. They will be coming when you are not coming to Parliament. So that's the matter. But you will know when are they coming. And would request the leader of the delegation, which is Sipo, I think so, to introduce to the members the gentlemen that are accompanying you, and then what positions are they doing, and they having, and then what is your organization? I've just briefed them a little bit, but Donald Lee was interested in saying he doesn't think that you are a players' union. I said, what? He said, no. Why is Bhadi not always supporting you? It seems you are not a players' union because there are your players trapped in poverty, and your silence is very loud. So I don't know, Donald, I don't want to speak on behalf of the DA. I'm not a member of the DA. So as soon as you have chance, you will ask this gentleman those questions. You'll introduce the gentleman, and then the one is going to lead. If you need a PowerPoint, I think they've organized it for you there. Parliament at least has the resources that we use for these things, not for our pockets. So you can use it, and then so that they... make life easier. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. Would like to greet all the committee members of the Portfolio Committee of Sports and Recreation. My name is Sipho Nzuzo. I'm the General Secretary of South African Football Players Union. I'm a former soccer player myself. I retired 2 years ago. We have Thulaganyo Gaushubelu, who is also a former soccer player, who is a Deputy General Secretary. We have KP Madudwani, who is our national organizer. And we have Zimabule, who also is a former soccer player and is our treasurer. If you look, Chairperson, here, most of us and the executives that we have are former players, and others are still playing at this point in time. We have our profile that we're going to be issuing to... we've got a profile that we'll be issuing to everyone here that shows all the executive members that we have. Our president is Brian Baloyi, who is still playing for Sundowns as we speak. Our vice president is Peter Ndlovu, who's also playing for Sundowns. And our second vice president is Simba Marume, who plays for Platinum Stars. And we have three more members, which is Malcolm Tembu, Enrico Vana, and we have Ishmael Maduleto. All those are additional members of our executive. It is a great pleasure, Chairperson, for us to be here. It is really a privilege because we've been looking forward to come and present to you what is happening in our football and what solutions can we bring, what challenges and that we have as South African Football Players Union. It is with great sadness that last Sunday we have lost our under 23, which is Amaglugu, who have lost a place to play in China, and to us as
football. Don't talk about it because other people are tweaking that to me, and it's my brother, it's not me, with the coach there. So when you talk like that, please, the GA thinks that it's compelled coaching the team, and then it's my brother, not me, please.
So really, each and everyone, I'm sure, is able to point that there are challenges that we have in our football. Also, we would like also in front of the committee to wish our rugby, Mama Boko Boko, in their final that we'll be having the coming week. And as footballers, we are behind them, as South Africans also. To give a proof of our background, we were established in 1997 as a trade union. Our vision is leading the development of football and supporting its growth throughout Africa. And our mission is to create a holistic approach and raising awareness on issues facing all individuals passionate about football. We have signed agreements with the PSL. The first agreement that we signed was an organizational rights, and the second one was the recognition agreement. So we are a valid organization, though it becomes an issue because certain decisions are made.
Sorry. The first one is organization.
Organizational rights.
The other one
is a recognition agreement. So the organizational right is an agreement where we are allowed to organize our members, they pay subscriptions to the players union, the only players union in the country. A recognition agreement is to recognize that any decision needs to be made. It has to go through a consultation with the players representative, which is our players union. We are affiliated to Kosata, and also we are affiliated to our mother body, which is FIFA, the Federation of All Football Professionals in the World. We've been engaging with the PSL on conditions of employment since our inception. The changing of the CEOs within the PSL also has been caused a great delay in us being able to have any bargaining agreement with the PSL. Our role as South African Football Players Union is the development and self-reliance of young players, promote socio-economic development as responsible corporate citizens, ensure football plays a role in our economy, improve the quality of life of footballers, empower talent involved in our football. I would like, Chairperson, to mention few of the challenges that we are having in our football. Firstly, a registered bargaining council. We don't have a registered bargaining council. Last year we formed a bargaining chamber that will look at the issues that are affecting our members. We do have a constitution that was formed on that bargaining chamber, but we had a challenge around that, because the PSL was not registered. As an employer's organization, we as players union, we are registered. But now what happens is that we will sit in the bargaining chamber looking to decide and negotiate on the issue. For example, an issue of minimum wage. And the challenge was that each and every time after the bargaining chamber, they cannot decide, because in the bargaining chamber, in the chamber that we had, Trevor Phillips, who was the CEO of the PSL. We had the lawyer from the PSL, which is Dola Majav, and we had the COO of the PSL, which is Ronnie Schloss. The executive was not represented in that bargaining chamber. So each and every time we negotiate on issues, they have to say, no, we have to take it to the executive, for them to decide. So we felt that we need to move on from that, because it's delaying our time, and we would like to have a registered bargaining chamber or bargaining council that will be registered with the Labour Department, so that whatever that is negotiated will be recorded, and also at the same time, for if we have, as the players, believe that we need to take an industrial action, we need to do so in a legal way. And in this case, we're not going to be able to get that. Another challenge, it is the exploitation of the players by some of the clubs. 2 weeks ago, there was an article on newspapers about our members still earning 1,000 rand within the Premier Soccer League, which is the professional league. We made a research on the minimum wage, and we do have a copy of that research. It was made by an organization called Naledi, which is an independent organization. And we feel, as an organization, according to the research, 12,000 rand is the minimum wage that we're looking at having, at least, so that this can be able to sustain their lives, to be able at least to get a decent salary in this. The players' benefits is another challenge. We don't have pension funds, provident funds, education of players, which is educating them around the issues of life skills, financial skills, how do they manage their money. Also, we would like as an organization that we do have bursaries. Yes, sir.
You said the challenges like life skills and what? And what?
I mentioned the players' benefits as a challenge, that we don't have medical aid for the players. We don't have pension funds or provident funds for the players. And also, we don't have an education fund that looks at educating our members on life skills programs, financial skills. And also would like them that to see them also be given bursaries to go to the universities and colleges. But in this manner, our football is run that our members are told to focus on the football than on their studies. Another challenge will be then the PSL is run by the owners of the club. It is run by the club owners, and now it becomes a challenge because we are not able. We look at the PFL as there's a conflict of interest within that. Reason being that each and every time players are having problems, we have to take it to the club or to them, the club owners. So we find it difficult for ourselves to achieve what we want for our members. That is a big challenge that we're having. When we sign our organizational rights, the chairman was an independent person because he was not an owner of the club. He was Professor Manjamtun at that particular time. That is when we managed to sign an organizational right. So it shows also that the issue of club owners being the ones that are running our football, it is a big challenge for us and for the growth and the development of our football. I would like also to talk about the non-respect of the agreement by both the PSL and SAFA. So I would like also to put SAFA into part of this because they are the ones that are running our football. The agreement, we do have an agreement with SAFA, which is a cooperation agreement with them. We're not sure, Chairperson, that whether we signed those, I think it was around 2002-2003, we signed those when we were looking for our 2010 World Cup. And we were meant to keep quiet so that they signed this agreement with us. But after this agreement, there's nothing happening they don't respect us as an organization. Though they agreed that we will be the players union, we will see the players in the national teams and whatever, but there is no relationship at all between us and SAFA. So we've made a lot of attempts to address them in certain things, asking meetings, but to them, they are very stubborn in listening to us. Because we go to them with solutions, we go to them to identify that there are issues and challenges that we're having in our football and would like that to be taken care of in this particular manner, but we fall short on that. Also, the exclusion from the World Cup. We would like also to tell the committee that as the representation of the players, we are not represented within this 2010, and we believe that 2010 is for everybody, in especially South African and African people. And we feel we are left out as an organization of players who will be running, sweating for our country in that bigger tournament. We understand that we saw that the government is represented, the business is represented, the administrators, which is the owners of the club, are represented, because we know that SAFA is a representation of seven, which is football, as a representation of seven, and whom we feel as an organization that it is necessary for us to have someone who is in, who's there, so that you could represent the interest of the footballers. Another challenge that is there at this point in time is the buying and the selling of clubs. This is it's making our football a joke, because it means that a rich club will never be relegated. Each and every time someone sells his team, he goes and buys a small team, he goes to promotion and whatsoever. So it needs a regulation. It needs also that something must be done around this, because it kills the spirit of promotion and relegation. Because if you are relegated, then you decide to, because you have a lot of money, you decide to go out again and buy another club. So it becomes a problem. A percentage of the broadcasting rights. We all know that there was 1.6 billion that was signed when an agreement between TSL and the broadcaster, which is SuperSport, was signed. As an organization that represents players, we are not funded by the PSL. We are not funded, we don't have sponsors and all those kind of things, but we do have programs in place. Sorry? The programs in place that will try to educate members, make the lives of the players sustainable. We feel that the broadcasting rights percentage would be necessary for the players, so that we can be able to help in developing our football and developing also the lives of our players.
What percentage are you talking about on the broadcasting rights?
In other countries or in the whole world, it is common that a 10% of the broadcasting rights has been given to the players' union to come up with medical aids for the players, come up with pension funds, and also making sure that their lives after football are sustainable. Also, lastly, on the challenges will be the representation or the consultation of players, you know, by decision-making bodies. A clear example will be on this new formation that in the National First Division, when there's there's two streams, the coastal stream and the inland stream. We, as an organization, we heard it from the media. We are not consulted on decisions, big decisions that affect our members, that affect ourselves. And we feel that we are not taken seriously here by our football or by the PSL and SAFA. And therefore, we ask for support from the committee, from every South African. And we feel also that the issue of foreign players has been a challenge. We need to have a quota system. And we believe that three foreign players in one team will be better. Because our football has gone down in the past 5 years. And there is no criteria used for those foreign players coming into our country. If someone has his brother or his friend in South Africa, he'll just come in for a visit, and then from there on a club, he goes to a club and asks for a trial, and he becomes a player. And if we look at the whole world, there's a criteria used for you to play, to get a visa in that country. For you to play in that country, you need to have a certain amount of games that you have played in your national team before you can sign in those clubs. So we believe as an organization that it will be a good thing for our football, and we will see a better performance for our players. People have been complaining, I'm sure, Che, you agree with me that people have been complaining that South African football, we don't have strikers and whatsoever. And what happens is that we go out in the foreign countries to get strikers. And what will happen for us in our 2010? Whom are we going to use for that? We also feel that the solution of the percentage that has been given to the soccer players, people who are looking at the welfare of our members, will be a good thing for us to formulate the players' benefits. We also believe that the investment, maybe also we need to look at the commercial side, where we can try to solve this issue. Try to generate some money for the players while they are still playing. Maybe we can form a commercial wing to generate money so that at least these players can be able to be given a pension fund after their playing career, and also be able to take them into some skills development. I also would like to talk about the HIV/AIDS as also a challenge, and the solution that we have around that would be, we went to TIC to present our policy and strategy. From there, we went to the MINMEC to present our HIV/AIDS policy as players. And this HIV/AIDS policy looks to educate our former soccer players. For those former soccer players to go to the clubs in the whole country to teach them around the issues of HIV and AIDS. Then from there on, the players themselves, they need to take responsibility and go out to their communities and speak freely about these issues of HIV and AIDS. I think, Chairperson, I would like also to ask from my colleagues that anything that I might left out in anyhow, so that we can also allow some questions. No, we are fine.
Are you fine?
Yes, we're fine.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. One of members, there is a presentation by the Players Union. and let's interact with that, and then let us ask them questions, and then and clarity, and engage with them so that at least they must give us more on engagement. I will start from this side, which will be Honorable Reed, Makosi, Dikhaju, and Obabu Lucas. And the last one will be Tiet. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. You made mention that some players get as little as 1,000 rand. What is the average payment that the player gets? And the other point you made, the issue of the PSL being owned or being run by the club owners. Now, you've told us what problems that has caused. In your own opinion, what could be done to rectify that situation?
I also want to get some few clarities, more particularly on the business side. And to say, at this point in time, are there negotiations in a form of a pool, or they are running step by step? Because for me, to have a player without a medical aid, it's an offense. And also, after so long, to say we haven't put the first brick on the pension fund again, that cut me. But one other thing that I wanted to check is the skills. The skills that I talked about, they survey the talent. Whether, if we begin to say, if we begin to talk about the life skills, if we begin to talk about deliveries, are we also linking these skills with the challenge that our players have? To say, if we are seeing Mama Kosi as the best keeper, how do we then develop Mama Kosi to on that talent that she has? Or we are saying we can have Mama Kosi as a keeper, and Eddie, on the other hand, having Mama Kosi starting as a tax accountant. I want to check on those phases. And one other thing, Jefferson, I don't know Jefferson, because we are in South Africa, whereby we are seeing South Africa that each time we are talking whatever platform, we need to balance our affirmative action, etc. But firstly, the board that has been introduced to us today, of course, was a Bafana Bafana one. But on the other side, we are talking about players. I wanted now to know whether are we including the women players in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Solo, welcome. Unfortunately, we're running against time. We couldn't wait for you. So we started.
Sit down.
No, we could not wait, and then we started. Thank you very much, honorable member. Cora.
Thank you, Commissioner. The honorable secretary has made mention of foreign players. I just want to understand that the deputy president is from Zimbabwe, or is he a citizen of South Africa? Because I don't think that the ANC can have a deputy president from another country. Because I want to believe that this is the players' union of South Africa, not of Africa. If I'm wrong, correct me. And the other issue which I want to raise with you is the issue of foreign officials as well. I don't think that you've touched on that. Because to me that, if you look at the issue of Trevor Phillips, there are people in the country who could have occupied that position, is occupied now again by a foreigner. What is the union saying? Because to me, after being a player, you go into administration and what have you. Do we groom our people to get into those positions? I know that there are a few which are there, but I don't know how are they overlooked. The second issue which I want to raise is that which you have raised is the issue of foreign players. You know, these clubs have developmental stages. Now to me, these 5-6 foreign players, they are blocking the upcoming players to get through. And then to correctly say that we know the strikers, even goalkeepers, the people who have said, they are not from here. What do we say as a union around those issues? Because that is also depriving our young talent not to come through. So that's not that the union will look at these things holistically, not just to look at the issue of player. Because tomorrow that player must proceed to another level. The issue which you have raised is the number of players per club. You see, to me that we are not going to have these players. You can't get clubs which have got 46 players. They buy all the players who are promising and they are going to put on the bench. There is no, at the end of the day, they are rusty. What are we saying in the players' union about those players? You also have to look at a certain number of players per club if you want to do justice to this thing. Correctly, I think if I'm saying, I don't know, you correct me, that we need to have a meeting with this union and CSL. With some of these issues, CSL must also be in a position to respond to some of these issues. Because to me it's crucial that if we say that we deal with these issues, we deal with them as if they are dealing with other courts. That we get them around the table when they don't want to talk, then we must make them talk because there are such a lot of things which have been raised. But I need some clarity on those issues, more especially if Peter is a South African now, then that's it too. But I'm having a problem if he's not a South African to be deputy president of the South African Union. Thank you.
It's you, Bob Lucas, and then it's the last one is here, and then we give to the players' union to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm pleased that we speak about the union because I was not aware of this. I must be honest about it. Because when you look at what's happening to the players that are out, it's pathetic. You look at funerals and you wonder what is really happening. And I'm really pleased. But what concerns me? How are you financed? And if I look by the publications, yes, it's nice and glossy and et cetera, et cetera. But how do you get your money to survive? And then when we raised the paper about R1,000, we were all very disappointed because we never expected this. And soccer is a game, our game. It's a natural with us as South Africans, especially us black South Africans. We've played, we've lived this, even we've played at grounds which are slanted, we've improvised all these years. And I think the union can play a very important part in building it up. And even when you talk about 12,000, one wonders whether, of course, maybe because that's your little livelihood, and it's a short span. It's not a long, not all your life, because when you reach a certain age, you're going to be out of it. And if you haven't made good for the rest of your life, I don't think there'll be any future. My concern is also the conflict of interest within the PSL and the owners of the clubs, because that you can't be a referee and player at the same time. It is not acceptable. It's really not acceptable. The HIV/AIDS. That is a very serious problem. Because the young people start soccer without HIV and AIDS. And if they end up with it, it means they're contracting it during their whole journey in the soccer life. So I think there should be a serious educational process put in place so that when the players are there, they must be educated. Because football is a contact sport. We bleed. And what is happening? And you're not going to wait to put on gloves while you're a player. You help your brother that's fallen at the time. So I think we need to look at this very seriously. Very seriously. And why are footballers contracting it? If we can solve that, because they are role models, and they can spread this gospel to the rest of the people, their fans. I thank you.
Thank you, Mluka. Siva?
Chair, a union is there to represent its members, not to babysit them. You are there to represent them, to represent their interests. Chair, I actually wanted to ask only one question, but I decided against that. Commerce Secretary, you mentioned that your union has a cooperation agreement with the PSL. I'd just like you to elaborate on that. What does it mean, and how does that agreement benefit your members? The other thing is, you also mentioned that you are not represented on the 2010 committee, LOC, or whatever. And if I can recall, COSATU is represented on the 2010. And by extension, I would submit that they are also representing you. Because as a mother body. Chair, the other thing is, according to this, all your executive members are all male. Why? You are 10 years now, and South Africa is 13 years into its democracy. Why is your executive all male? And are you also representing the women football? And the other issue, which I think is very, very important for any union, do you have the support of the players that you are representing? And if they are earning peanuts, what are they doing? And what are you doing? The last one, Chair, which I wanted to ask first. Why don't you strike? Why don't you strike? as a union to achieve whatever you want to achieve. Thank you.
Just for the last question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, to give it a second bite. I just want to take it further from the point of conversation around that the issue of really secretary and the union is really representing the players. You were on Radio Metro around that issue. And where you were asked which club are these jumping a thousand rand, you could not come with that. You did have the information, but you did not want to reveal that. And to me, if you were representing me then, by protecting clubs which are exploiting people, then the union is not doing its job. The secretary is there, the country is listening, and you are being asked which are the clubs. And I think I still remember that. You said that you are going to come again and tell the nation. But after today, and I want to know which are those clubs, so that we can expose them and we can deal with them. Thank you.
Yes. I was just giving the first round, and then I know the DA is the engine is throbbing. Yeah, throbbing. Then it's a case of engine. You will come later. Sipo, can you respond and then and give us information in some of the questions that you did? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry. But this is the department. This is Long Island. This is our department. So these questions about Buzai as a HIV and AIDS, as a education and all those things. And then other targets is on Buzai the next time over Benzin joining us. So thank you. Yes. Thanks for coming, sir. Yes.
Thank you, Chen. I think I'll deal with this issue, with the issue of the average salaries within the PSL. I think, like the General Secretary said, that we commissioned, of course, a research. And we requested Malibu to do that. What came out of their research and what is a known factor to us is that, you see, with 51% of the players are earning less than 10,000 rand. And we must bear in mind that, less than 10,000 rand. Then we must bear in mind that 10,000 rand has got no benefit whatsoever. You do not have the question of, you don't have education and accommodation and so forth. But of course, we're not saying education and accommodation, that's when we differ with the PSL. That we cannot say accommodation and education are benefits. Those are not benefits. Those are rights of individuals. You know, people have got a right to education and they have got a right to shelter. So benefits would mean your medical aid, your pension fund, exactly, kind of house allowance, you know, just a house subsidy and all that, and these players do not have. And what we plan is that only 4% of the PSL players are top earners. That is, they're earning over and above maybe about 40 or so, or 20 upward. Those are top earners. But you have those who are 18% who'd be getting between 11,000 and 15,000 rand. But all this money is too little simply because it doesn't even have those benefits that we really are talking about. I think you can deal with
a question around the PSL owners running the clubs that are running the PSL. We believe that the solution to this is we need to have also independent people with expertise that sit within the board of the PSL. We also need to, as an organization, be there to represent the interests of our members.
The question around the skills linking with the talent. We believe that we are working within sport, and there are courses that are within sport. How we look at it, those who think it would be good for them to do accounting and whatsoever, go to the university, that's better for us. But we're thinking that sport journalism, things that are happening within them, the players themselves, sport administration. Because what happens is that we see a trend where most of these players are going for coaching. And I don't believe that when you're a soccer player, you're a good soccer player, you can be a good coach. You know, so we need now to make sure that we educate these players so that when we're talking about development, because it goes back to development, that our development that we have made as football people are not a holistic development. They are only on performance and the skill. What happens about the career after football? What happens about the life skills of the player? So those are the things that are lacking within our members. So we believe that the life skills program that we have for the professionals, amateurs, women, and also for development players, it will be a life skills program that will help football. Women players. If you look at also at our program, we have priority and focus on development programs. One is the leadership equality, the woman and the individual with physical disabilities. At this point in time, we are forming partnership with an organization here in Cape Town that deals with the women's soccer. The issue they at this point in time with us is that we are representing at the moment the professional soccer players, those also who are able to pay subscription, because you need to be a professional soccer player, which is we have the PSL players and the Mvela Golden League, those who are able to pay a subscription at the end of the month. And when it comes to looking at our football, our women football, it is not yet professional. That's the issue. They are not paid for what they are doing. They will probably be paid for allowances when they are in the national team. But as an organization, we're looking forward to help our women to become professional. That is why we partner with organizations that help the issue of gender in this case. We partner also within the people with disabilities. There's a program that we're busy doing. It's called Crash Soccer, where we play with the disabled people on crashes playing soccer. So these are the kind of partnerships that we have. The other question will be on the foreign players and also our deputy president, which is Peter Andrew. Jay, I believe that as South Africans, we are South Africans and we are also Africans. And each and every player that comes into our own territory becomes our brother. He becomes us. And for that matter, then, Jefferson, because if we had discriminated the foreign players to say they cannot be, then how then do we say we represent the foreign players who are in our country? So we believe that it is a strategic reason why that particular person is there. Reason because foreign players will be saying, no, we are not, this is a South African thing. You understand? And besides, these players are playing here in South Africa, in our country. So they are our brothers. That's how we feel. But also to say that Peter Ndlovu also is a South African now because he married a South African woman, but in our case we don't discriminate anyone. On foreign officials, it is really out of our hands
as an organization, because as we are saying that if we pass and pass the law of decisions that are made, then we as an organization, we will be against, we were going to be against that, and we were going to at least have a say. And I said, but in this case, they do what they wish. They decide what they want to decide, because to them, football is their football. The number of players per club. We have never thought about this member. Though we believe that also in this case, the clubs are the ones that are signing players, and the only solution that we have on this case is for us to get this funding and programs running, so that we'll be able to educate our members, for them to be able to choose. In these cases, for example, when I was still playing, I had an opportunity to play for Kaizer Chiefs or Orlando Pirates. But at that particular time, I sat down and I thought, would it be good for me to go and play for Orlando Pirates? Because at Orlando Pirates, we had same players who played like me in my same position. The question I asked myself was, are you going to go there and play or not? If you want to play in the national team, you need to play regularly. And then I decided to say, no, I can't go there. Let me sit in my Manning Rangers with a smaller team, but let me negotiate a better contract for me. But because I will be playing regularly and whatsoever. So it's also a matter of making sure that we educate these players around those issues and advise them correctly in that manner. How are we financed? We get a 1% of the player's salary per month, which is nothing. There is nothing. Looking at the legal cases that we have, almost every month having 5-10 cases. And also the operations of the organization and whatsoever. And also we do get a grant from our mother board, which is chief of the Federation of Professionals, for us to be able to work. But at this point in time, it is a challenge. Funding and finance is a challenge, because we are not able to implement programs that we do have. On the issue of the HIV and AIDS, I've mentioned that we did present before the TIC, MINMET, and also we happened to also sit within the committee of SANEC representing sport and entertainment. So we are not sitting down around that issue. We understand that our members are at risk, because they are not immune to the disease. Agreements that we have. I've mentioned that we have an organizational right agreement, which is for us to organize, giving us the right to organize within our members with the PFL class. And also we have a recognition agreement. We are recognized as the only organization that represents here. Therefore, we can have a bargaining council and also negotiate on the issues that are around, that are affecting our members. The cooperation agreement is with SAFA, which is both parties will cooperate to each other when we want to go and see the players that are in the national team, negotiating on the salaries of players within the national team. We believe that those agreements are just on paper. And practically, they are not there. Another issue is with the Kusatu. Yes, we are an affiliate of Kusatu as a trade union. But as an organization, we feel that we are soccer players before we become a Kusatu affiliate. For example, that as an are also affiliated in international an international organization like FIFPRO. Therefore, also we have mandates from our international partners to say that for us to be able to get into football, be part of football in all the decisions that are made in our football. So in this case, we believe that as an organization that we have also found out about COSATU being there, and we heard that COSATU is there to represent labor movements. So which is in that manner they're looking at the labor as it is. But we have particular issues that affect our members. I would like to make an example to say, if we look at the big tournaments, for example, the last World Cup tournament, we had our African brothers, which is Togo. When they reached in that tournament, they decided to say, we're not going to play. Why? Only at that particular time that they said they're not going to play. The reason is that they are not given a chance. They are not represented in these associations that we have, and that now it also brings a problem. Then the players, they feel that okay, we have this time, then we'll strike, and we don't want to see that happening in our country for the 2010. Where now, when we're supposed to go and get into the field, then we decide no, we are not playing because of A, B, C, and D. And we believe that this 2010 World Cup also says it is a tournament for all South Africans and Africans. And why then the key stakeholders? Because we are a key stakeholder in this matter. We know issues within our football. All members, all our executives are male. As I have mentioned before, that the reason is because of the professionalism, because we are professional at this point in time, and though our goal is to make sure that we help women football to be professional, for them also to be part of us, because we believe that in future, Amat, we need to also to go to Amat, even if it would mean they would pay a certain small amount, not even yearly. If you pay that joining fee, then you become a member, so that you can also educate them, so that not to educate them when they reach the professional, but while they are still at amateur, they know what is happening within the professional football, what is it that they need to, what are the challenges that are facing them if they become professional. And also around the issue of women, we need to make sure that as an organization we work, take care of women and help the women football.
Why don't you strike as a union?
This is an option that our members also have been saying to us. But what happens is that we are looking forward firstly to make sure that we've done everything that we could. And for us to be here also, that's another milestone that we have traveled. And we don't want, when we do this, then the parliament comes and discipline us to say, you guys are bringing the country into this. You guys now know that there is an option like that that we're looking at doing, but we're trying as an organization to make sure that we do everything that we could. We can negotiate, sit down with them, and we believe that when also we were free from apartheid, we never came out and fought and whatsoever, but we sat down and negotiated, so we learned from the best, by the way. Thank you, John.
Yeah. I think maybe there's one question that we really like to answer.
Thank you.
Which teams are paying like 1,000 rand? I think it's in the Premier League, as Benoni. Is it the Benoni Premier United is paying 1,000 rand? you have your Ajax who are paying the 2,000 to 3,000 to this player. You've got your Black Leopards who are paying the regional 5,000 to 6,000. And there are many more, because we had said, like we did, that we are definitely conducting even our audit. And we are about to finalize it, and we will make it a public, like we said. We will definitely make it a public a document for the public to engage with them. And that is why, you know, we have said, especially, but the bulk of them are in the first division, where we said we need to have 6,500 beds, which is 6,500 for a minimum wage in the first division, and at least 12,000 rand in the premier soccer league. And I think I must say again that we are, of course, representing about 80% of our members. And I think the question of the strikes, I said maybe because we have been on the national roadshow, we have been consulting with our members. The national organizer has been, you know, working tough on that particular issue. Maybe you can at least again shed some light as far in relation to the issue of consulting with the members and all that. But we are of course getting the support that we need from them. Thank you.
It's fine. And if you're saying you're consulting, and then that would be the last option. Fine, leave it like that. It's Donald, and then it's Solo, and then first it's UCS, then Donald and Solo.
My other question was not answered. The question that is, do you have the support of your members?
We have 80% of the support of you, so yeah.
Chair, you say the foreign official issue is not your baby. It is your baby. As much as it is our baby, it is your baby as a union. And I think you must start making noise. As a union. You are too quiet. You are very, very quiet. You must start making noise. That's your job as a union, to make noise. Even if you know that what you are doing is nonsense, make noise. Unions are doing that to get attention. They're doing that. Yes. Some of your programs will definitely run parallel with those of the clubs. Like your HIV, your welfare issues. Yeah, I think you must start to prioritize programs that will be driven by the union, you know. By the union. They must not run parallel with the class. The other issue is, I can't understand why you have to have a cooperation agreement when you have a recognition agreement. Maybe you have one with PSL and one with SAFA. Yeah, but I think there's a problem there, because it will tend to dilute your power. Thank you.
And Donald?
Thank you, Chairman. Some players have agents. And it seems to me as if these agents, Chairperson, as if they are getting better deals for their players. I mean, that is my observation. I just want to know why, one. And secondly, perhaps, Chairperson, how many players will... Do players belong to your union as players, individuals, or do they belong to you as clubs? Is that the membership? The second point, Chairperson, is you spoke about exploitation, and in the same breath you spoke about people owning the clubs. Now, if a person owns a club, then he owns people. Because the club, it is about people. You know, in the olden days, we were also owned by people. And at that time, we were called slaves. And it's for that reason that they paid us a slave wage. And that is why we were exploited. Now, I think it is important, the point that you raised, is that you want to get involved in the administration of the club. I mean, of the union, really. PSL, or whatever. I think you must come there. Because that is where they make the decisions. That is where you can break the hold of the owners on the organization, sort of. And I think, Chairperson, the sooner they get in there, the better for soccer. The last thing, Chairperson. You mentioned that about broadcasting rights. You also mentioned the fact that you want sort of 10% of broadcasting rights. I think that's the figure you mentioned. Now, if this point, say, the PSL, if they go to the broadcaster and they negotiate, do you also have input into their negotiations? Or are you sort of lit in the cold and we fight for the spoils? Because I believe that you should also be represented when you negotiate with the broadcasters, Chairperson. And I think if you get... But I think the first point, to get there, you must get to the mother body or into the administration, Chairperson.
Thank you, Sir Preston.
Sorry, Chairman. Could I just, because, I'm sorry, Chairman, but I asked a question and it seems to me, Chairman, that Mr. Lowe, perhaps, he didn't hear me, or perhaps the other guy also didn't hear me. I want to know the relationship between agents and you. That's also a question, Chairman. Agents and you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sir President. Firstly, let me appreciate the fact that the union has come to make a presentation. And I think that one of our colleagues has indicated we are all here to serve the interests of South Africa. And where necessary, we need to work together. As I understand, this is a national union, and I thought I was later could grasp some of the things. My interest is more around comparable studies that have been done. As you indicated that you are a member of the International Federation, I wonder if you guys have done comparable studies, or like the unions, the players' unions in Britain, Germany, France, as much as we may project a picture that we are still developing, the fact of the matter, these clubs are getting huge support from the private sector. I think Mr. Lee has articulated it clearly. If you work with people and you use people, if you cannot afford them, the easiest way is just to close shop. Because you are not building the career of this particular person, you are actually destroying it. But I know soccer has got a little bit of complex structural aspect. You indicated when you talked about salaries that, look, you've got clubs at a particular category, as much as and you also indicated that you've got the PSL and you've got the first division as well. Surely the scales, more or less, would not be the same. And I think your approach is to set basic minimum wages within that area. And you are recruiting members both from PSL both from, I'm sorry, first division and what's the other division? PFL, yes. So I assume you've got at least basic minimum wages in as far as those divisions are concerned. The third thing I wanted to raise with you, there's so many clubs, I don't know whether you've thought about that, both women and men clubs, as somebody who's coming from the far east side of South Cape, let alone growing up in Tredoc, where they're about now, it started with three clubs. Now they've got, they are part of, I want to know if you deal with all the structures of the South African football, what you call it, SAFU, or whatever it's called, SAFA, because there are those clubs, and they need to be unionized. So those players there, even if they play the minimum substitution, but they need a body where can they express their views. I mean, you would look at the club that was coming from Transkei. Probably the failure and the collapse of that club in the first division is based on the fact that players did not have a platform. And I believe that if those players are all unionized, at least we can have a better soccer today. As a matter of fact, let's accept that in the world, we are really not performing the way we are expected to. And South Africa, with due respect, is the first world country. We have proved that many times. If you look into your cricket, if you look into your rugby, if you look into your soccer itself, PSL has just announced the 500 million per year, which means they've got the capacity to ensure that the players at least are cared for and they get fair deal for what they are. Now, I believe development is a concurrent responsibility. I accept that you've got a development program, but this should be in partnership with all the structures of soccer. On your own, you can't do it. But you have an input and an agreed approach to this thing. Hence my colleague was talking about the lack of strikers in the country. It's a worrying factor. The lack of goalkeepers in the country. It's a serious worrying factor. And if you look at the number of people who are playing football throughout the country, within the structures of SAFA, I know in Sakane every Sunday, I know in Kashehong, in fact, people who attend those matches are more than the people who attend the Bafana team. So there is the resource that is there. And I think it's for the union now to push the powers that might be to start taking those categories very seriously. And also the union to start organizing there as well. We're not here to lambast you. We appreciate the fact that you came here. But some of us want to help you. And most of us have been activists and we have been union organizers for that matter. Don't worry about the strike issue with your respect. But the point is, we've got a challenge as a country. We've got a challenge that we should be at par with other countries. You know, for a fact, we are faced with poverty. Some of those players are supporting families, are supporting extended families. Others have to leave Limpopo and come and stay in Gauteng because they've got to support those families that are dying of poverty there. So the element of career pathing become important. I accept the fact that you prepare these guys, you allow them to go and study. But I think they'll be experts within their own field. I accept the fact that, and I appreciate it, that they should not be limited to becoming coaches, but administration and all these other things. And I believe that should be a concurrent function as well. That the sport power that may be must put into the kitty. You set up structures where they put into the kitty that we get good administrators, not to end up with a foreigner becoming a general secretary of that is not acceptable. You'll never take us many, many years to see you as a secretary of the British Football Union, you know. But we need to inculcate a culture of self-respect. That culture will only come when we start attempting to get into those positions and making sure that within the football arena, those who've got experience develop further. Chairperson, I wanted to say, the question of salaries, gentlemen, is very serious to us. And the question of career passing. We don't want to see all these stories in the sun that players, you know, die as paupers in certain instances, they crash cars all the time, but that at least, because the short span of time, within that short span of time, they should be like George Best or whatever he is and the other players. I thank you, Sir President.
Yeah, can you respond to that, people?
Thank you, Sean. The first point was club, HIV AIDS within the club. I would like also to tell the committee members that clubs don't have HIV AIDS. The only thing that they do is to take the players into an orphanage where there are HIV AIDS people, or to do a social responsibility around the HIV and AIDS. There is no community at all. And whom?
Justin, are you saying the 18 clubs that are there,
they don't
do not help government in increasing consciousness around the HIV and AIDS? It is not their business.
Maybe it is not their business, it is our business.
You know, serious, there is no club that is a program that deals with HIV.
No documents. The only thing that they do, as I'm saying, Chaperson, that the clubs go out to the hospitals. Maybe sometimes they make players to talk. Why? Because they never educated those players. Those players don't even know what they're talking about. You know, so there is none. There's none. There's also, I want to talk about the recognition, the agreement. I said that we have an agreement with the PSL. The organizational rights, the first one, and the recognition with the PSL. And with SAFA, we have a cooperation agreement. So, for on our side, we believe that SAFA are the people who are on top when it comes to our football in the country. Then the PSL is just a professional wing. Players, whether they belong into the union by clubs or by individuals, they are individuals because each and every member signs a membership form and also a stop order form to say the club must deduct 1% and pay to the PSL. So they are individuals when they do that. We don't have a relationship with agents as an organization. We have sat down with SAFA around that issue because SAFA are the people who give accreditation to the agents. We have also spoken to the PSL. We are not happy with the agents in the country and the fly-by-night business managers, because most of them are calling themselves business managers. They're not calling themselves as agents. But according to the rules and regulations of FIFA, there is nothing like a business manager. Anyone who works within football is an agent. He's supposed to get an accreditation. And we believe that also SAFA needs to do something on this case, where maybe in partnership with the PSL and the players' union, to catch all these people who are working illegally in the country as agents, because some of them do not know how to deal with these matters of the players, and some of them are selling the players' lives to the club. And we have also found out as an organization that some of these agents are getting more money than the players. You know, so it's a big issue, as we are saying that we also need the help, especially from the PSL, because the PSL are the people who are allowing these people without accreditation. Because when the player comes to negotiate the contract, he's negotiated with the club. So the clubs are not supposed allow anyone who is not accredited by SAFA or by FIFA, but it happens in our in our football. On the broadcasting rights issue, we are left out. We are not part and parcel of the of the people who are negotiating on the broadcasting rights. And we feel that those people who are appearing on TV are our members. And the PSL, it is a dead party themselves, because the PSL represents the clubs, and we as an organization represent the players. So it's supposed to be the broadcaster, the PSL, and the players' representatives. Because at the end of the day, it is our members, it is us, our players, who are there. So that is why we believe it is necessary for us to get a presentation on this broadcasting right. I've mentioned also that we're looking at in future to go out and mobilize also with the amateur clubs within the structures of SAFA, the Vodacom leagues and whatsoever, because we believe that those are potential members to us, and it will be an easy thing for us when they grow up. They know where to go for advice. They never sign a contract, a blank contract, as some of us have done that before, without knowing, coming from a poor background. You are told that this is where you need to sign. You cannot ask a question. This is what we're gonna giving you. So you just take anything. So in this case, we're saying as an organization, we are aware of that, and we're looking forward that we, with the help of the committee, think for us to be able to be financially viable for us to go out, because all these programs will need funding. Another program that we are having in place is around the advanced driving program. The advanced driving program, because we feel for the past 5 years we have lost some players within the road accident and whatsoever. And we believe that maybe we need to do something, maybe in partnership with either the road agency or the Minister of Transport and whatsoever, or even the sports and recreation in that manner, because we've been losing our talent. The recently one, it was Keith Lerem, who was a very good player, and we care about them, and we need to show that we care by making this program possible for them. For any emergency that might happen to them, they are able to take control of those. Thank you, sir.
Before Cedric, it's a very important matter, because I've got to give Cedric a chance. Ask quickly, Gordon.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just want to find out from the Secretary, these players they are working with. The issue of tax, are they paying tax? Who is paying tax? Is it the club or themselves? But the other issue, which Conrad has raised, the issue of strike. You know, Conrad Secretary, there is so many threats of strike, more especially when they are crucial games. And if you are not going to look at this seriously, we are going to have a serious problem on 2010 when players think that we are going to strike. So if you are not going to take up this issue, because the issues really which I think that the union must take up, the issue of these agents, at present is like this. You say you are representing them. Don't you are representing them? You must take your own package. And even you are talking now that about advanced driving, you have to look at the package of orientation and skills as a whole package, not different pieces. Because there you see, before Jabukule, they can't play. Because they did not know how to behave and all these things. So, look at the interest of the player. If they are representing them, do it fully, not with different pieces. Thank you, sir.
Cedric, the last question.
No, Jefferson, not a question, just a comment, and I believe that this comment could have been made earlier in the meeting. My apologies for being delayed for this meeting. You know, Jefferson, I've listened with keen interest to the concerns and the challenges that is facing the players who are part of this association. But there's another group of players in the country who don't even get a fair opportunity to play football. who were promised years ago already that there would be a PSL league for women's soccer. Right? Absolutely nothing has come of that. As we are sitting now, there's no chance for a female in South Africa with a good football player to even come into reckoning to reach her potential. That is how discriminatory the practices still are in South African soccer. And that needs to be addressed. I'm on record as having said before in this committee, and I hope that the Players Association will join us, that we must move towards a more equitable dispensation for female soccer players in the country. The treatment that they are currently getting is horrific. It's inhumane. They don't even know if they have a league to play in. And that is not what we can afford to do. So, as we are concerned with these issues that have been raised, let us equally be concerned about the discriminatory practices, gender discrimination that is taking place currently in South African soccer.
Thank you.
Sipa?
Thank you, Chair. I would like also to point out a program around our program, which is of the HIV and AIDS. We have a program called One Man Can. This One Man Can program looks around you as a person to change the situation, whatever situation. And in the case also of women, we as an organization are aware of the discrimination around women. And that is why, as I said before, that we formed partnership in for us to be able to help women football. And also for us, in June next year, we'll be having our national congress. And we promise here the committee that in our next national congress, we will be having women, and even though they are not yet professional, but we will be having women in our executive. So that to see to it that we are serious about women and we want to see women football going forward. Around the issue of tech, most of the players are not individuals, taxpayers. What happened is that they paid the clubs. Some clubs pay the tax through the club, just to say this player, so and so, this is the money that is paid on behalf of the player. But I think the PSL also has remedied the situation by taking them to workshops around the UIF tax. But at this point in time, things are getting better around the issue of tax, because before we used to have UIF taken from the player, tax taken from the player, and then clubs not paying to SARS. And at the end of the day, players were getting into trouble with SARS. But we believe also on our side that we will be educating our members to be individual taxpayers, so that each and every season that finishes, they take they go out and have RIP files from the club. On the issue of strike again, it comes at all times. And as we have said, that our national organizer has been going out to the nationally consulting with our members around that issue. Also, I've mentioned that issue of UIM, that clubs do take money from the players and not pay to SARS. So it is a challenge that I think with us and the PSL, we need to sit down and with your help that we also look at that issue. Because when the players don't have jobs or contracts, then when they go to the UIF, they are told that they are not registered. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, my communication is comment here, they are not so much the best. I apologize also for
Sorry, come in chair. Yeah? Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying, first of all, I want to apologize for coming late. But I've heard a few very interesting comments made in this meeting here. Typically pointed out. In fact, what I want to say is, I think you are showing patriotism. You are patriot, South African patriot. In the sense that you mentioned, among other things, that 2010 is coming, and you would not like to see the position of South Africa jeopardized by, for example, players on the eve of their tournament saying we want more money, and therefore if you don't give us money, you cannot play for South Africa. You're trying to avoid that. And that is why I say you are real patriots. South African patriot. You don't want to put South Africa in a bad light internationally. You are a you say you are representing the interests of footballers. It's a good thing. You take up their issues to those who are in authority, the federations, etc., etc. It's a good thing you are doing, and I want to commend you for that. It's very important to avoid, I'm sorry if I will be disagreeing with my comrades here, it's very important, you have said, and I want to agree with you, that we want to avoid strikes, we want to negotiate, and that's important, we want to negotiate, we don't want to make noise, that's what you are saying, and I want to agree with you there, we don't want to make noise, we want to negotiate. And when negotiations fail, it's only then that you go to the extreme. Engaging strikes and all sorts of things. But I like your approach, comrade unionist. I like your approach of saying we don't want to put the country in a bad light, especially now that we are facing 2010. If we are not satisfied about those who are employing our players, we want to negotiate with them, first of all. That's very important. And I think, as I said earlier, you are showing patriotism. And these are only the remarks from the chair I wanted to make. Let's not be in a hurry to engage. We have seen how some of these strikes in the country have destroyed the economy of the country. Surely you don't want to do that. And for that, I want to commend you strongly. Thank you.
Thank you, Babu Mlangeni. It's part of wisdom, guys.
No.
You know what? I'm definitely serious. I am not going to take another hand after your hand. Not any. Dr. Mlangeni, I have left him, and I didn't talk about whether Ufike Nini and all that. I think you know my position around elderly people, but I'm just giving you for the last time, and then I will not give anybody.
You're elderly yourself.
Yes. Come, please. Chair. We must all understand what is a union. A union is an organization that is there to represent its members. And all unions are patriotic. They are patriots. All of them. Just like us. But it does not mean that to be a patriot, you must be a patriot to the extent that you allow your member to suffer. It doesn't. And even this government will not allow that. It won't. It will not allow that. The context that I was saying, I was talking about strike, we must understand that context.
Yes.
2010 will come and go. And it does not mean that with 2010 around the corner, you can't demand what is rightfully for your members. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that unions must close shop until 2010 is over. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't. So we must understand the context. We must not use 2010 as a red herring. We must not. Otherwise, you will not do justice to your own members. I come from a union, and I know that you can't hold hands and say, no, 2010 is coming, so we want to strike. We want to embark on a strike. We want to embark on. We will be good, of course, but if we fail to reach agreement, the only option will be a strike. Then we strike. Of course, we exhaust everything. And if we fail, then we strike. We can't be apologetic to that. We can't be apologetic. You represent your members, and you must do so according to what your own constitution is saying. That's why the PSL is so arrogant. That's why PSL is so arrogant. Because the union is not doing its job. And then you will come back to us and say, we want your help. So do what unions do. Do what you have to do. For the interest of your members. Thank you, Chair. Thank you. That was... Not Bali in the Makos. This time you have offended our cool Bali in Makos. Comrade and honorable members and visitors. One thing that I want to tell you, the gentleman with the pinstripe suit. What's your name, by the way?
Tulakhan.
One thing that I want to say, Donald, before you leave, I think Tulakhan, you have been, all of you, bold enough to talk about this. I always want to illustrate one example. Boxers in the Western Cape were suffering, and they came and made a presentation to Parliament. When they arrived at home, they got a letter of suit because some other boxing powerful people seated there and say, you went to Parliament and go and say some of the things that are not supposed to say. Then they brought that letter. We responded to them. Now, we want to make it very clear to you that when you are in this institution, as soon as you get into that gate, no any other amount of power or of the lawyers in this country would take you to task of what you have said here in Parliament in terms of the privileges of this Parliament. Cannot. Because the fear that is instilled by PSL to you, that you must not talk about the clubs that are giving players sinners and turn them to monkeys. It is a fear that you are having and not talking about these things, and they continue doing these things every day. So you must talk about them. When you are here in this committee for sports, you must talk about any other person in this country. Because if they are able to talk about us and Baba Mlange, people outside there and say members of parliament are subjected to this scrutiny and guillotine on the cross, so is everybody in this country must be subjected to the guillotine and the cross when it's here. And we're not apologetic about that too. All of them, whether PSL or anybody, as soon as you come here, you will be subjected to any other scrutiny in which we find ourselves subjected to. So you must not be ashamed to talk about those clubs. But when you're outside there, maybe that's where they can do whatever litigation it is, but not here. So I think you have been bold and strong, and you must talk about those things here. It's just that they are not here, but one day we will meet with them and then talk about those things together with you seated like this. The other thing is that, you see, government is not generating income. It's not a business. We're not having a consortium of Mvela Panda or De Beers, which is called government, where there's a lot of money generated here and dish out to people. Government doesn't do that. Government deals with conditions to be conducive for any other person to operate in this country. Now, when business is subjected to any other law in this country, PSL is a PTY Limited, is a business, and it cannot have a certain soft hand, and business in this country is subjected to conditions of business in this country. It can't be. And PSL must also form part of them being subjected to corporate governance, being subjected to any other law that deals with business. If they undermine the rights of the workers in this country, these honorable members will speak if you are afraid to speak. They will speak about that because there is no way that the violation of the labor agreement in this country and the workers' rights in this country could be obliterated by powerful unions like the PSL and all of us. We are scared that we must not talk about these people, a powerful Kapoor. No. Because of the powerful outside there, but with us, we will talk about any other person who's doing any other wrong thing. In as much as they speak about us when you're outside there, and then when you do any other wrong thing. And that will be, that is the order of sport throughout these years here in this country. It will never change. It will change when these members are no more there in doing their constitutional work, in doing their oversight work. But for as long as we are here and doing that, all of us who are so-called sports gurus, Zambambulai, and there is no two ways about that. But you must speak on behalf of the players. You must raise issues of the players. We will play our part. I'm happy that the department is here. On the issues of the HIV/AIDS, I am sure Honorable Kepu and the minister indicate to me that if you came to Minmec and present this, he has fallen in love with what you are doing because you are talking about bread and butter and the life of the player. Life orientation, life skills. The issue of HIV/AIDS that Babulugas is speaking about. You become powerful people, powerful young boys who are having all this money and all the limelight, and then you get any other girl that you want to get. That's where you have to do more issues of education and say, today you are up here, you are a shining light in this country, and everything that you want to get, you get it free, without paying, or you get it as easy as all that. But there are responsibilities and consequences thereafter. And that question of the life orientation is far better than what we've been given from Love Life, which has completely no educational fundamentalism that we are dealing with, and then it's just an entity that generates money forever and ever and ever, amen, and then doesn't deal with issues that are at hand immediately and resolve those things. I am sure the department will deal with that, and I am confident they will be able to say, these are the issues around the life orientation and life skills, and then can you help us to penetrate to the players in this country for us to deal with issues of the HIV? Because it cannot be a health issue. It is a health, is an issue for sports and recreation, is an issue of labor. It's all of us. We must play a role. I'm shocked that the PSL play their team do not see a role to play in as far as the life orientation, life skills, HIV and AIDS. I am completely shocked. It's a shocking story. But I think we will discuss with them and hear that. For as long as they conduct football in this country, they will come here and they will be able to share with us their program. And then we'll hear, we'll criticize where it is necessary, we'll give praise where it is necessary. But you have to jam work very hard to praise this to please this committee, definitely. The other thing that I want to comment on, You have commented about that. When you look at your own little booklet, which has the vision and the mission, you are talking about leading a development of football and supporting its growth in Africa and global. You see, your vision here doesn't talk about a professional level of sport. You're talking about what Solo raised and what all other members are raising. Any other person who kicks ball, who plays sports in this country, it becomes your area. Because if you talk about development in this country, you talk about exactly what is culminating to a professional level. And therefore, your target must be the same as your vision. Your vision says anybody, whether it is at Mbela Panda or at any other level of sport, it is our area where we are getting with a serious intervention at a development level and begin to shape and make these people to understand. Catch them young, they will understand. But when you look at the professional level only, it becomes a little bit contradictory to your vision, because your vision talks about development. Development is at the heart of the national teams, at the heart of the Mbela teams, at the heart of all these teams that are playing in the regions and then in the leagues of the SAFA in regions and provinces. And your final level is that one of the professional level. But that one of the professional level is the one that you have to work very hard, because it is the one that is exposed to what you want to do. Those players, you're right. If you're talking about to the department, you say, we are having a group of players. One day they are going to retire. We want you to help us around skills. We want them at least one day to be a driver. I do not think the department will say no. It's a very unreasonable thing that you're asking. Or to the speaker in the department, that they will say it's a very unreasonable thing, because it's a life skill. If my father doesn't read and write, but he can see the signs that no entry here, this one says turn left and right, and so other players can be able to do that. And therefore, the emphasis must be life of sports people after the game. But if you are able to make them to go to school and be best administrators, it is not difficult for the sitter in sport, in as far as I know, to be able to assist you to deal with that issue of development. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult. It is up to you to do a very sound, reasonable business plan. It's submitted, economic paper, and then they'll say, okay, we'll look into it. And then they're able to help you so that you begin to make these players to be polished and become better players. And they must not shy to speak the thoughts of how Babu is absolute. Because how Babu is mood, see, I'm going to go to the house. So the issue of quick, there is no realignment, but it's a point of emphasis in relation to your vision and your mission statement. It deals with development, it deals with me and anybody. As in government, our emphasis is on development of sports. And your union, if it deals with football, it's fine, but it must also deal with all other things that are going to help these young people to come out better people when they resign there, or when they leave the other thing. It's a very cruel area of sports, I know. Without Pelile, really, we just forget about you. You are right. The question of driving and all that. As soon as you become a good player, you play for Sundowns or any, they give you 180,000 a month. You buy the best car in this country. You don't even know how to drive that car. You've just got a license by accident, like yesterday. Then you put it in a road, and then you drive. You have not been taught properly on how to manage that car. Each and every car, the car that I'm driving, you don't just get into that car and drive. They teach you. Uber, I think a Kevin truck driver get 200. What you should do, salary, fiscal, and all those things. So it's not just something that you jump. I'm sure the pattern in the country is that you don't just walk into any other car, especially top class car, and then you drive it and then think that no, it's like a football team. No. So you must help them to do those things. No, I don't know whether they drive state cars. I don't want to. Or street cars. I know, my still moment. When I'm waiting, man. wait, I'm serious about this. The programs that you are having, that you have just alluded on those programs, I can confirm and also agree with this member. Very good program. It is not programs that can really, you ask for big things. You're asking for basic things that are going to support this. And put more emphasis on those programs, deal with those programs, a correct program that are a point of emphasis to all of us. I think that is good. The other issues we'll take up with the South African Football Association or with SAFA. The question of the foreign players. You're right. I think this committee has gone through the world, I think, even more basic than your motherboard. And the question of the foreign player, it's so tight in the so-called European countries where football is a business. So tight. They look at the cap that you have from your country. And then they said that, no, if you have so many caps, we can allow you to play in our country. But in this country, you just walk in and you get a work permit. And they said that we are South African. I will never pride myself that I'm a South African if anybody walks into the country and get a job. And I must say, I'm a South African, I must be proud of that. I cannot associate with myself with that. I will never. When people just walk into this country and then get a job and then is commanding you and say that no, he's an African. You can't do that to their own country. You can't do that to their own country. You can go to China and walk in there, you'll never see a South African Chinese being at a key strategic position there. You'll never see that. It only happens here. No, I'm joking. Now, that thing around the foreign players. I have an experience, fortunately, of my own home. My brother got a contract which he must apply for that contract in Turkey a year before it could be approved. And then when it expired, he must apply again a year before it is approved. And then after the 10 years of his career in Turkey, he has to pack his things and go. If you see there's honeymoon, you kulum to our. And say, no, I'm no more prepared to go home. And then the next thing, said, no, sir, Manuel, and then we can just do that. Other countries are not doing it. And anybody can think that we're in South Africa, we're three, just playing. They do it far stricter and different than this. If there are three players in a team, it's too much. We went to the Tottenham Hotspur, Cedric was there. We went to go and sign the agreement with SuperSport. Or the Tottenham Hotspur. They said that no, for now we don't want foreign players. Because our team has been built in 1825, is going a little bit a tough time, and then we'll see them later. We want to build our own team. But in South Africa, even if you have never even played the amateur level, when you walk in there and then you have a good CV, they take you in. You must come and play. And the players' union is quiet about that. Quiet about that, and the others are giving us a fake CV. The players' union is quiet about it. When you are a powerful CEO who is not a South African in a 46 million people, players' union say that CEO, Trevor Phillips, must come back. He's a powerful CEO. If it could be a South African, no. Maria Ramos is not powerful and leading Transnet. It can only be Kaji or Trevor Phillips not a South African. And unfortunately, we are opposed to those kind of things too. And we'll speak against those things because, as Mandan, because you're undermining your own people that are 46 million people here and say out of 46 million, there is no person competent. I mean, Director General, who are not running spaza shop, who are running departments at trade and industry and public enterprise, and you can't tell me they can't run a small thing like PSS. You can't tell me that they can't run it. But it is not true. It's when people want to undermine the regulations and the laws of this country that if you are a PTY limited, you must be subjected to public advertisement, and then so that the South Africans must get an opportunity and say, no, we didn't get, therefore, we've had help. So that at least you have a shortcut. Unfortunately, there will be no shortcut. But that's born and they need him, but not this time. And we'll talk about these things every day against the wish of any other person. We'll talk about it. In conclusion.
Before you conclude, Commissioner.
Yes.
Are you talking of foreign players or foreign players occupying official positions?
No, I'm talking the work of the foreign players. When a foreign player gets in and gets a work permit, he just gets in a work permit, they don't even check how many times did he play for his country.
But we also have other people coming from foreign countries playing in Europe.
No, you must not tell me about the Francophone countries.
We have South Africans playing in Europe.
Yes.
They are allowed to play.
They are allowed to what extent are they allowed to play?
I thought you were talking of foreign players occupying official positions.
No, we really spoke about the foreign players that are a quota in different clubs. We spoke about that. And people started talking about it and say the other challenge is a number of foreign players that are playing in a team. Then I'm saying in Europe, everywhere, there is a number of players that they allow, not in this country. In this country, you can have 5 foreign players. They say that they must be in a team, 5. Then on the day of the play, there can only be 3. It's tantamount to 5. It doesn't remove the question of the club having 5. 18 teams in this country that are using 5 foreign players is 18 multiplied by 5. It's not just an ordinary thing as a mathematical thing. It has a huge impact to the players that are in this country who are not getting a chance. I don't have anything wrong about it. But in a manner in which you players in this country are subjected to this condition, anywhere where you're going to play, why with us cannot be the case? And those are the things that you must raise and talk about them. And even in administration too, we are not shy to say it can't be true, people, that it could only be this new CEO and Trevor Phillips only who can bring money in this country. Why is the money in this country is so cruel? When you are white, it is easy for it to come to PSL, but when you are black, it is so difficult it runs away because you are black. Why is it like that? It cannot be true. I need an empirical evidence for me to be convinced that what we are saying is not a fact. It is a fact. And we'll continue protecting the South Africans on those days. Nothing that is going to deter us from that. Yes. The last point, very interesting and exciting point. When we went to this Tottenham Hotspur agreement, which is a very good agreement for development, we also via France for the World Cup, and then we've seen South Africa. Many people there say, please kill your colonizers. And South Africa killed our colonizers, England, in that game, ours with Cedric. And now South Africa has progressed so much that the article that Lee is talking about has just run because I wanted to tell him about that article. The article that is appearing today on the newspaper, it is a position that we said when the World Cup started. That one thing that you cannot remove from those boys who are playing in that team the national team is because you can't remove them not to be South African. They remain South African. The fact of the matter, they are South African. In spite of that entity not being transformed, and that responsibility doesn't lie with those boys, and therefore we must go and kill them because it's a lily white team. It's because there is a sickness in the administration around being opposed to transformation in this country, which is an agenda, a national agenda, that we have committed ourselves to the nation, that there will be a change in this country. Transformation is a change. Otherwise, we could have said, no. But let us leave you as you are, and then you, well, it's okay. But we never said that. We said there will be a change in this country. A change would mean at all phases of this country there will be a change. And then so that it must reflect what the people of this country are and what the democracy of this country is all about. And we will not go and kill those boys. They must play there, they progress. We're all happy about them. But one thing which is very sad about them, where are their counterparts? In the joy and celebration that they are bringing to this country, they are in the periphery of the game. But those boys are South Africans. But the leadership of rugby, we will remind them from time to time that this is not justice that you are doing, because you have not tapped to the larger portion of the cake of the people that are having a potential in this country. Rugby will not grow because the growth of rugby rests with the 80% and 90% of the people who are not looked at. And then you only concentrate on the 10% of the people that are there. You never grow. As soon as they grow, they must go to 80%, and then that represents growth. Anybody wants to grow and then close themselves in a small closet, you will never grow. But as soon as you open up, then you will grow. Then we will say, yes, all of us will support you. We will still support that team. It's a South African team, and then we are not apologetic about that, but that team will remain a lily white team. We will talk about that to the leadership of rugby and tell them, but you cannot keep those boys. We wish them good luck. Who will be joining them when they bring that welcome? And then celebrate with them. But the one message that we'll raise from time to time is that this team is not a reflection of our people in this country. And I'm not ashamed of that. Yes, that is. Thank you.
No, Chairperson, I think it's important that you put it on record that, you know, when even before the team left for France, it was the ANC that moved a motion without notice in Parliament to wish the team well for the Rugby World Cup. When we were in France, we went to the team hotel to convey those greetings to the team captain and also to the team management and later to the team coach. So we must not confuse the two issues with one another. It's a South African team. We support the team. We wish them well for the World Cup final. But we must not confuse it with the need for transformation. We must not confuse the two issues with one another. There's a lot of work, and the leadership of South African rugby is in agreement. They admitted that this team that left is most probably not be reflecting or is not reflecting the demographics of the country, and that they will have to put processes in place. So that admission comes from their side. But we definitely wish them well, and hopefully they can repeat the performance when the two of us witness them running onto the park, hopefully on Saturday evening, if everything goes well.
Oh, it's my turn, it's my turn.
Thank you. No, I'm closed. I've closed your turn, so for Sipo and your group, thank you very much. The people that are in here, you are invited on the second floor for lunch. The second floor, you get into the lift and then you go up here and then to the second floor. And then Pori will lead you because you don't know you have got lost and the police are going to kill you as soon as you get into a wrong room. So my secretary will help you and the members will go there. And then I think the end of the meeting, unfortunately your colleagues are having a commitment, and then when they come, we are going to send you invitation. Thank you very much.